As I slide into a beekeeper suit in the parking lot of the Weatherford Farmers Market,
I can't help but feel a little ridiculous standing out here in this.
Well, you know.
Well, I like my job. Sometimes I'm taking notes at a city council meeting. Sometimes I'm putting on a bee suit.
I'm here to meet with Tim McCoy, retired military, current bee guy, to tag along on an important job, moving a honeybee hive from an electrical box on Ed Crawl's property. And I didn't wear high-top shoes like I was supposed to.
That's really gonna suck.
Is this unsafe?
Well, if your pant leg comes up and they lay on your socks.
On the ride out, McCoy talks about what's killing Oklahoma's bees.
I think it has something to do with the neonicotinoid insecticides. I think it has something to do with monocropping.
McCoy is a bee professional, not a bee scientist. But Natalie Steinhauer from the Bee Informed Partnership at the University of Maryland is. She says the biggest threat to bees comes from varroa mites that came to the U.S. from Asia in the 1990s.
So this is definitely the enemy number one of bees all around the world.
She says bees across the U.S. face habitat loss due to agriculture and poor nutrition from a lack of crop diversity, as well as negative effects of pesticides. But University of Oklahoma biology professor Ken Hobson says there's another factor that made the situation worse in the Sooner State.
So, bees are pretty heavily impacted by drought.
This all seems pretty egregious, right? Man depleting honeybee habitats and exposing them to pesticides, stressing bees to the brink. But there's something you need to know about these bees. They aren't native to North America. We brought them here, and they work for us.
It takes, I think, figures are around a million and a half hives of bees to pollinate the almond orchards in California. And so those are not there. You have to load them onto trucks, and trucks just arrive from all over the western United States and elsewhere, carrying in a million and a half hives of bees.
Without beekeepers feeding them and selectively breeding them, honeybee colonies die quickly. So if you see a honeybee, it's probably part of a managed hive somewhere. Back in the Weatherford area, in a windswept, wildflower-laced pasture, this swarm has separated from a managed beehive and put down stakes in Ed Crawl's electrical box.
What we're going to do is we'll just smoke the girls up.
To save them, Tim McCoy pumps smoke onto the bees to distract them, pries out the delicate, dripping honeycomb, and cuts the soft wax to fit into artificial frames.
Hey, girls, time to move. It's moving day.
The queen isn't happy about it, but it's for her own good.
There she is right there.
That's her. There's the queen.
Because see how much longer and bigger she is compared to the other ones?
Yeah.
With the queen in her new home, it's time to pull bees out of the box by the handful.
Here, grab a handful.
Okay.
Just scrape them up bottom to top. And don't squeeze them. Just
come on, bees.
Beekeeping is a lot of work and expensive, especially when colonies are dying in large numbers and have to be replaced each year. It's more of an economic problem than an ecological one. If commercial beekeeping gets too expensive, it's bad news for the country's food supply. The crops need the bees.
It's left us with this Achilles heel of our real increasing reliance on the European honeybee.
But Hobson isn't too worried about the European honeybee. Mite-resistant bees are being bred, and farmers are starting to think more about bee health. He worries about what the bee deaths tell us about Oklahoma's ecosystem as a whole.
You know, bees are kind of a gauge or a monitor. They're a monitor for the health of the ecosystems.
Hobson says all the recent rain has been great for the state's ecosystem, so he expects Oklahoma's bees to rebound very soon. For State Impact, I'm Logan Layden.